135, chorus book.
Thank you.
Jesse as he teaches and preaches your word, that he will be faithful in giving us exactly what you want us to hear. And we pray that as we would pray for any man of God, that he would preach the whole counsel of your word and not hold anything back. Give us a good day, and pray that we would learn much. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, just a couple of announcements. First thing is this. Coming up in September on the 10th, Gina Fry is one of our missionaries in Africa, and she will be coming to give a report on what God is doing there in the work that she has, and she will be here on that day. So please come and listen to what she has to say, and then we will be taking a special love offering for her as well, so trust that we'll be here for that. And then this is just confirmed yesterday, so I wanted to let everybody know about this. Bob and Charlotte Hitchens are going to be coming. They're going to be here the weekend of October 21 and 22. What we're going to do is we're going to have a breakfast, church breakfast. We haven't had one of them in a long time, on the 21st. We'll have a lot of fun. Always have a great time with food. And then, of course, lots of singing. And Brother Bob is good with that kind of stuff. So we'll have that on Saturday in the morning. And then he'll be teaching and preaching that Sunday as well. So looking forward to having them come and be with us. All right, so those are the major announcements I have today. Okay, let's get back to some singing then. 147. There is a flag. 147. Jesus as Savior. We're looking forward to that time. 197 countdown.
Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness
one more if anybody's interested. Okay, Kathy?
Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Good. Okay. Let's say it together. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
All right, good morning, everyone. It's certainly good to be in the Lord's house this morning, amen. Praise the Lord. Beautiful outside, too, as well. Can't beat that. And certainly good to have everybody with us this morning. We do have some special visitors with us this morning. We have the Dai family. They're missionaries to Papua New Guinea, and they're back there. So maybe during our break, get to say hi to them. They just kind of popped in this morning, and they're from upstate New York. And so we'll keep these guys in prayer. It's good to have you guys with us. And I was noticing on your prayer card, everything happens in September, right? Yeah. My birthday's in September as well. And so it seems like, Kyle, you've ruined everything. I'll do that. But we welcome you guys this morning. And thank God for missionaries, amen, who are willing to take the word of God where it needs to go, amen. We mentioned last week that those who take the gospel, the good news, have beautiful feet, amen. And we thank God for that. And so it's good to have you, and pray for you, my brother, and your family. God bless you in your travels and provide your needs for you to get to the field and to do what the Lord has you, wants you to do. Amen. Well, this morning in Sunday school, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about prayer. And for the last 2 weeks, we've been sidetracked because we've been talking not only just about prayer, but prayer in respect to the battle that we as Christians face. I mean, we're talking about Ephesians as we're memorizing Ephesians chapter number 6. That's all about the Christian battle. Amen. Every Christian is a soldier. What kind of soldier we are, well, that's up to us. Amen. But every Christian is a soldier. And prayer is one of the greatest weapons that you and I have, because prayer connects us with the Lord. Amen. And we need the Lord. We cannot fight the battle without Him. Amen. The arm of flesh will fail. Amen. No doubt about it. We've been talking about the thought of the purpose of prayer. We've been talking about why pray. Why should I pray? Why do I have to pray? Two reasons I'll reiterate just for those that might not have been here and for those that were here but were not here. Did you ever been there before? Yeah, I've been there before. Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been there, but not there. Amen. I think when Paul told Timothy, give attendance to reading, I mean, that means pay attention. I've read things and had to back up. You ever do that? You ever read something, have to back up, said, because while I was reading that, I started to think about something else. Amen. Usually it's a ham or roast beef or no. Anyway, why pray? Why should we pray? Why do Christians need to pray? Number one, it's a mandate. God has mandated it. He told us to pray. He knows every need we have, but yet He tells us to ask. Amen. And it shall be given. And so on. In fact, reiterating Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, watch and pray. Amen. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And why tell us not to faint? Because, be honest with you, a good prayer life, you have to pay the price. It is not easy to really pray. Amen. Now, it's easy if you're doing vain repetition. If you're running beads or whatever it is, you know, in the Catholic, if you're running beads, that's easy. Because you don't really need to be there to do that. Can I get a witness on that one? I mean, I can do the Our Father, like, you know, when I'm sleeping. Amen. But real prayer takes real focus. Real focus means you got to stay awake. Matter of fact, I live in Philadelphia, and Jersey Shore is where most people take vacations from our area. And I noticed a few years ago, as I would take the Atlantic City Expressway, not going to Atlantic City to gamble, by the way. Headed to Atlantic City area for the shores, right? And but anyway, I remember years ago riding down there, and what they did was they put up several signs along the way because of so many people coming and going at all kinds of times and hours. And the first sign was stay awake. In fact, truck driver, you probably see that all the time, right? Stay awake. And then the next one after a while was stay alert. And then the last one that I would see was stay alive. Now, I'll be honest with you, that's a great 3-point message. Stay awake. Pay attention. Stay alert, right? And then you will stay alive. Amen? Ain't that the truth? And so we need to watch and pray. Romans 12:12. We need to continue instant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18 talked about praying always. And that's coming on the heels of having all the armor. You can have all the armor, but you need to pray. You need to stay in contact with the Lord. Amen? Why? Because we are to, according to Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord. In and of ourselves, we're weak. We can't do it. We have to depend on the Lord. Amen. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, everything by prayer, he tells us. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watching the same. And then my favorite, the most easy to memorize, is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Amen. That does not mean quit your job and get on your knees. That means get a hold of the Lord and maintain that hold in your heart and mind throughout the day. Amen. As you and I know, there are many things that come between us and the Lord throughout the day. We talked last week about cell phones and how you come across dead zones. Amen. Usually they're under tunnels or something. Something is cutting us off from whoever we're speaking to. Amen. And so there are dead zones in the Christian life. And we could call them sin. For the wages of sin is death. And that's not just physical. The day that Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't physically die that day. The process began, but spiritually speaking, they died. Death. You know, the prodigal son died. Because when he came back, his father said he was dead and now he's alive again. Amen. When we get out of fellowship with the Lord because of sin, that is a dead zone. Amen. And the cell phone don't work in the dead zone. Amen. Ain't that the truth? But anyway, so we need to pray because we are mandated to pray. God tells us to pray. But then the second thing we began to talk about was not only is prayer a mandate, but here's why God mandates us to pray, is because prayer is a means. God wants us to pray because it's through prayer, through Him, that we can get everything, not that we want, unless we want everything He wants. Which usually that's not always the case. Can I get a witness on that one? But when we stay in touch with the Lord and have good prayer lives, we can get what God has for us. Amen. You have not, James 4:2, because you ask not. And so many times we suffer lack because we don't pray and ask the Lord for what we need. Some of the means of prayer, some of the things we get from prayer is we get the sanctified life. The sanctified life meaning this, we get the victory over the devil, over the flesh, and over the world through prayer. Every Christian is battling the flesh, the devil, and the world. That's our greatest enemies. Amen. I personally think the greatest enemy is myself. Amen. But nonetheless, we got to fight the devil, we got to fight the world, we got to fight the flesh, and we cannot do this without the Lord. Amen. And so that's what prayer does. Prayer allows us to get a hold of the Lord. And I also believe this, that prayer allows the Lord to get a hold of us. Amen. You think about the story of Jacob. You remember when Jacob finally had that prayer meeting, that wrestling match with the Lord. You remember that? By the way, before that wrestling match, you go back in Jacob's history, he prayed and he made deals with the Lord. He said, Lord, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do this, I'll do that. That's not real good prayer. You know, when the Lord finally got a hold of his heart, Jacob knew that Esau was going to kill him. He was headed back to face his brother. He knew, I can't face Esau, my brother who wants to kill me, without God's help and without God's blessing. And so he really, really wrestled with the Lord. And the Lord said, let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. You see, I can't leave this prayer meeting and face Esau without God helping me. Amen. And you remember what happened. Jacob was left alone. By the way, that's the perfect place of prayer. Where's you and the Lord? In fact, did not Jesus say, enter into your closet? The closet is not necessarily a little room. The closet is a place where it's just you and the Lord without distraction. Can I get a witness on that one? And by the way, I believe there are several distractions we need to overcome to really pray right. We need to overcome the physical distractions. And there's a lot of physical distractions. That's why be careful where you pick your place to pray. Amen. Some people pray at the coffee table with everybody around eating. That's probably not the best place to pray. Amen. We need to get away from as much physical distraction as we possibly can. Why? We don't want to lose focus. I think I remember speaking about this before. We started a church, my wife and I, in Philadelphia about 18 years ago. And a brother of ours, a friend of ours, is the pastor there now, Grace Baptist Church. But when we first started that, we bought an old building. It's about 8,000 square foot building, and it was dilapidated. And that's why we got it for $80,000. Right now, it's probably worth a quarter of a million, maybe even a half a million by now in that area. But nonetheless, the fact of the matter is we bought this old dilapidated building, and we didn't have money to be paying contractors to come in there and fix it up. So we had to do a lot of the work. And I remember I would go down to that building sometimes to get alone with the Lord and pray. And I'd find myself walking around in a sanctuary that needed so much work. And I'm trying to speak to the Lord. And by the way, many times I pray with my eyes open. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that, because I think it's the best way to stay awake. Amen. John 7. You got a problem with that? John 17:1 says Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and prayed. Amen. But nonetheless, I'm walking in this auditorium and I'm praying and I'm speaking to the Lord. And then as I'm speaking to the Lord and I'm praying about it, I'm noticing that needs to be fixed. That needs to be fixed. We need to paint this. We need to get that. You know what happened? I had to go to the room that was already done. See, we had already a room in the church that was already finished and didn't need anything done. So now when I go down there to pray, I'm not looking at this needs to be done, that needs to be done. Why? Our minds get sidetracked. Amen? We got to overcome physical distractions to really pray. And then I believe we need to overcome sometimes satanic distractions. Boy, that devil, he just throws things at you when you're trying to pray. Some of the things he throws at you is to keep you from having confidence in the Lord. Amen? And so we got to overcome physical distractions and even demonic distractions. And then we got to overcome sometimes mental distractions. Amen. It's not necessarily the devil coming at my mind. It's maybe this thing I got to do or that thing I got to. Amen. We have to overcome things to get to the Lord. Amen. And to really be alone with the Lord and really focus on the Lord and pray as we ought to pray. Prayer is a means of overcoming the devil, the flesh, and the world. Amen. Now, this morning, I want to speak to you about this thought. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 37. I'm sorry, Psalm 34, not 37. Psalms chapter 34, please. One of the reasons we ought to pray, not only is prayer a means of sanctification, a means of getting the victory in our lives, amen. Prayer is a means, not only of sanctification, but prayer is a means of consolation. Prayer is a means of consolation. Consolation meaning this, comfort. Comfort meaning this, encouragement, strength, amen. That's all wrapped up into that. Do you know people pay psychiatrists a lot of money to feel good? Can I get a witness on that one? Some psychiatrists will charge you so much money so you can come in there and just pour it all out. And after you pour it all out and tell somebody something, you pretty much feel better because you got it off your chest, if you will. And then he collects a big paycheck for that. I know a counselor. In fact, he's wonderful. Amen. That he don't charge you to go to him and to pour it out. Amen. That's what prayer is all about. You and I cannot handle the burdens and the pressures of this life on our own. We can't do it. Amen. It's too heavy for us. We have to pour out our hearts and our minds to the Lord for the sake of our own sanity and for the sake of our own peace. Amen. I want you to note with me, if you would, please. Look at Psalms chapter 34. We'll begin in verse number 1. This is a great psalm, by the way. Psalm 34. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. This is what David said. And by the way, it's on the heels of some victory that God had given him, which you can read even in the very top part of that. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. He says in verse number 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And by the way, verses 1 to 3, what David is doing, he's basically just praising the Lord. Amen. He's praising the Lord, thanking God. If you read the context from which this comes from, David was in a bad situation and he got out of it. He was near death and he got out of it. And so he's praising God for what God had done for him. But look at verse 4. See, verse 4 tells us what David did in order to get the victory. And it says this in verse number 4. He says, I sought the Lord. By the way, that's prayer right there. I sought the Lord, and he what? Heard me and what? Delivered me from all my fears. Amen? Prayer. Seeking the Lord when circumstances and situations come our way and we have no idea what to do. Listen, everything that's over our heads is still under his feet. Amen? It's still under his feet. Everything's okay with him. There's nothing wrong. Amen. There is nothing that he can't do. Amen. And so David's saying, I was in a situation, a bad situation. I was nigh death and I knew I was going to die, but I sought the Lord. I prayed and sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me. Amen. I want you to look at another chapter. Look at chapter 55, Psalms chapter 55, if you would please. Psalms chapter number 55. Prayer. Why should we pray? Prayer is a means of consolation. Prayer is a means of comfort. Amen? Comfort. Psalm 55, look with me if you would, in verse number 22. Psalm 55, verse number 22. And by the way, these are some great verses to memorize. I remember memorizing these when I was younger, when I first got right with the Lord. In Psalm 55, look at verse number 22. Here's what it says. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall what? Sustain thee. You see, burdens are heavy loads that we can't handle. We can't carry it. What are we to do? Cast them on the Lord. Roll them on the Lord. He will sustain us. He'll be the one to help us to carry that load. Amen. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. How many people have heard the song, Take Your Burdens to the Lord? And leave them there. Amen. If the world from you withholds of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little birds, and take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Leave them there. Amen. Leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If we trust and never doubt, he will surely bring us out. Amen. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And that's what we need to learn to do. Amen. Take our burdens to the Lord. Take our cares to the Lord. In fact, one of the verses that parallel this verse, and I want you to turn with me, please, though you may be tremendously familiar with it. Turn to 1 Peter, if you would, chapter number 5. I want you to see something. 1 Peter, chapter number 5. Now, most of you probably know where I'm going, because it parallels this verse right here. 1 Peter chapter number 5, if you would please. And I want you to see something here. In verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. What does it say? Casting all your what? Care upon him. And here's what it says. For he careth for you. Listen, in 1 Peter, the people that are, by the way, this book, the emphasis of this book is suffering. God's people were suffering through persecution at this time. And Peter's writing to them, going through their persecution, going through their trials, going through their afflictions, going through what they're going through. He says, listen, when you're going through all the things that you're going through, when everything is hitting you hard, listen, he still cares. But you know what happens? The devil comes and he says to us, when we're going through afflictions and persecutions and other things, God don't love you. God don't care for you. Don't you remember what the disciples did in the boat when they were in the boat and Jesus was sleeping and the storm began to brew and the waves began? What did they say? Wake him up, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I love one of the hymns that was written is, does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Amen. And so on. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Amen. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. By the way, I want you to see this. So in 1 Peter, the people are suffering. The people are going through persecution. The people are being afflicted and probably being tempted to think God don't care what we're going through. And Peter says, listen, he cares for you. Pour out your heart. By the way, you usually won't speak to those that you don't think care for you. You open up to those that you know care for you. Amen. Why is it that we need to take the cares that are in our hearts and on our minds? Why is it that we need to take them to the Lord and we need to lay them on the Lord? I'll tell you why it is. Because I believe when you and I go through the things that we go through, I believe it's prime time and a prime target for the devil. What is on the heels of 1 Peter 5:7? Look at 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, was a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It's in the very context. Don't you think the devil jumps on top of worry warts? Amen. Some of you are thinking about patches of pirate, I know it. That's what the devil does. He targets. He says, well, here's a person right here that's really going through some things, and I think I'll get next to them, and I think I'll just give them some things to think about. And usually the things he gives us to think about ain't helping us at all. Amen. We need to take our burdens and our cares, our worries, our fears, we need to take them all to the Lord. We need to be honest and humble before God. Amen. In fact, there's a great hymn. I think we have it in our hymn book, is All Your Anxiety. How many people know that one? All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Amen. Never a friend like Jesus. We need to speak to the Lord and just lay it out on the Lord. In fact, let me give you another verse. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Psalms chapter 64. I'm saying, listen, don't keep it in. Don't keep it in because you can't handle it. Amen. Don't let it bottle up in you. Go to the Lord with all your worries, all your frets, and all your fears. Go to the Lord. By the way, when you go to the Lord with these things, they're important to him. They're important to him. And I'll be honest with you. I don't doubt that some of us have some worry, frets, and fears that if we told others, they would blow them off. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. What sometimes we worry, fret, and fear about, somebody else has no problem with that, and they kind of blow it off on you. Like, no, what do you worry about? The Lord, he doesn't blow it off, if you will. He takes our concern serious, amen? But he comforts us in its place. Psalm 62, if you would, please. We need to pray so that we can lay our hearts and burdens and cares before the Lord, amen? I think this verse right here to me is a great description. Psalm 62. We're going to look at verse number 8. I believe that this right here is a great description of prayer. Watch what he says here in Psalm 62, verse number 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Now then look at the next statement. Pour out your heart before him. That's prayer right there. That's prayer right there. Why should I pour out my heart before him? He goes on to say, God is a refuge for us. Why should I pour out my heart before God? Because he's our refuge. He's our safety. Amen. Pour out your heart. So what does that mean? That means this, just empty it out. Empty it out. Do you ever get to that place in your life where you just had to go to the Lord and just tell him about everything? Tell him about everything. And don't hold back, by the way. Even the sin has to come out. Amen? Tell him everything. I want you to turn with me. We're in the neighborhood. Look at Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Prayer is a means of consolation. Amen? I believe when we pray sincerely from our hearts and we lay it out on the Lord, I believe we will feel better, no doubt about it. Amen. Even if nothing changes, we still feel better. Amen. That we talk to the Lord about it. Look at Psalm 61, if you would, please. And I want you to look at verse number 1-3. David going through some trials, and many believe it was when Absalom have taken over and kicked David from the throne. And so he's going through a hard time, a hard situation. And here's what David said in Psalm 61, verse number 1-3. He said, "Hear my cry." And by the way, sometimes when circumstances are tough, it's not just prayer, it's crying. Amen. He said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." He said in verse number 2, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." Many believe that to be, he was driven from the throne. He was driven from Jerusalem. But he said, no matter how far my enemies may drive me away from the physical presence of Jehovah God, I will cry unto God. Amen. By the way, you could never get too far away from anywhere where God is always there. But read Psalm 139 whenever you want to and get a chance. You and I cannot run from the Lord. Amen. He's there wherever we are. Amen. And that's the wonderful thing about it. In verse number 2, he said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." Wow. Overwhelmed. He said this, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." David driven from the throne, David driven from Jerusalem. David's family was a mess. His situation was a mess. And he was overwhelmed in his heart. What do we do when we're overwhelmed and we don't know what to do? We go to the rock, the stable one that is higher than all of us. And we know that rock to be the Lord. Amen. Our shelter. In fact, the Lord's our rock. In him we hide. A shelter. In a time of storm, amen. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee, amen. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 2, he goes on to say, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Verse number 3, "For thou hast been," by the way, it's always good to remember what God has done. Amen. See, David saw many things that God had done for him. And when David was in a circumstance, in a situation that he needed God presently, he remembered what God had already done for him in the past. When David faced Goliath, he remembered that God allowed him to kill a lion and a bear, remember? And when David's facing this situation, he's probably remembering Goliath and how God gave him the victory. Always remember the things that God has done. By the way, isn't it ironic how soon we forget the great things that God has done for us? And bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It's amazing how forgetful we can be when we face a situation and we don't know what's going to happen. We got to remember that our God is the same yesterday, today, forever. Not only what he did for me is something that I need to remember, but I need to remember what he did for the nation of Israel in this book. Hey, when I'm up against the Red Sea, as we call it, by the way, we're calling it a Red Sea, right? Oh, the situation we're in, that's a Red Sea thing. But for some reason, we forget about God dividing the Red Sea. Amen? When we're up against the wall, and might we say the Jericho wall, we forget what God had done to that wall. Amen? Many of the things that God had done in the past are there to comfort us and encourage us. There's nothing that God can't do. There's nothing too hard for God. Amen? He goes on to say, "Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." Amen? I want you to turn to one more portion of scripture this morning. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter number 4. By the way, I wrote a statement down based on Psalm 61. We can be overwhelmed but not overcome if we pray. Amen. We can be overwhelmed but not overcome if we pray. We learn to pray. In fact, one of the songs I like to think about is, "Why worry when you can pray?" Amen. Trust Jesus. He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully in his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? Amen. Philippians, if you would, chapter number 4. So these are many, many scriptures that encourage us to pray, to pour out our hearts, to cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. Amen. And this right here is another one of those, Philippians chapter 4. And look with me if you would. And by the way, I'm sure most of you, if not all of us, have memorized this. But look at Philippians 4, beginning verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. See the word careful? You just reverse it. Full of care. Full of care. Don't be full of care. Don't be full of worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Turn every worry into a prayer. Amen? And supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. Okay, what's going to happen if I turn every worry into a prayer? What's going to happen if I become that prayer warrior? Look at verse 7. Here's what's going to happen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or protect and guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer's the key to peace. Amen? Amen. By the way, let me say this. Not only do we see in this text as prayer being a key to peace, I think if you want to maintain that peace, we need to do verse number 8. Look what it says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, what's it say? Think on these things. What happens when you pray and pour out everything to the Lord and you start to feel a little better? What do we start doing? We start thinking about everything that's going to help us to feel bad again. Can I get a witness on that? Isn't it the truth? By the way, could somebody tell me something that you think is honest, just, pure, lovely? How about this book right here? How about thinking on the scriptures? I believe when we pour out our heart, we can get the peace of God. But I think we need to think on the right things. Think on the right things so as not to slip back into that worrisome thoughts. Amen. I'm going to even take it a step further. I'm going to say this. Not only should we think right, but verse number 9 says this. Look what it says. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What's the big word? Do. And what's going to happen when you're obedient to the word of God? And the God of peace shall be with you. It's one thing to pray and have the peace of God. It's another thing to think right and do right and have the God of peace. Boy, his presence in every situation makes it easier. Amen. If he's there, if he's present and we know it, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the thing that we think is the most fearful thing that could happen to every one of us, death itself, I don't have to be afraid, for thou art with me. Amen. Ain't that the wonderful truth there? There's a song, in fact, I want you to turn with me. We're going to close singing a stanza. Turn with me, if you would, to hymn number 216. I want us to close. We got 2 minutes, so I'm going to close singing this stanza because it really says what I'm saying this morning. Prayer is the key to consolation. Amen. We can worry about everything. We can fret everything. We can fear everything. And we can carry everything on our own hearts and minds and be crushed. Or we can take everything we're worried about, everything we're concerned about, and take it to the Lord and by faith lay it on Him. Amen? And leave it with Him. Can I say that, Mom? I'm sorry. I thought you were getting it for me. Thanks. 216, When We See Christ. How many people know this song? So we don't have to sing the first stanza or to be able to get into it. Let's sing the second one together, if you would. Oh, hold on a minute. We got a piano player here. Amen. He's throwing babies around and going to play the piano. Amen. That's not a baby grand, is it? 216. In fact, let's sing the first and second stanza. All right. Oftentimes the day seems long, our trials are to bear. Help us to pour out our hearts before you and trust you, Lord, that we might enjoy the peace and the consolation as a result. We pray you'll bless our time of fellowship. We pray you'll bless the morning service. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you.